Drop a lawsuit, get a coupon.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Remember all those lawsuits filed against Ford over the Explorer? People said the SUV was prone to flipping over. Well, there's a settlement of those cases. It applies to about a million people in four states. They claim their Explorers lost value because of the perceived rollover possibility. The plaintiffs will get a coupon as part of this settlement, $500 toward a new Explorer or $300 toward other Ford vehicles. Ford will also have to give out information about rollover danger of its SUVs. The auto parts maker Delphi appears in bankruptcy court today. Delphi is hoping to get out of Chapter 11 by the end of the year. It had better, or else things are going to get a lot worse. Elisa Roth tells us what's going on.
With the credit markets in a real mess, now's not the best time to try to emerge from bankruptcy.
Loans are getting considerably more expensive, and exit financings as well.
Standard & Poor's analyst Greg Lemo-Stein says that's especially true for companies like Delphi.
Of course, you've also have in the automotive sector weakening economic signals. For 2008, the outlook looks shakier than in past years.
If Delphi can't manage to pull out of bankruptcy by year's end, it'll face all kinds of penalties, including a massive tax bill related to pension costs and legal fees that keep adding up. Lemo-Stein says Delphi will emerge eventually. What's less clear is what the company's final restructuring plan will look like. It's not just Delphi's workers and creditors who'll be watching today's hearing. Three other auto parts makers are also trying to exit bankruptcy, so Delphi's outcome could be a bellwether of things to come. In New York, I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
The last 2 days on Wall Street have been phenomenal. The Dow is up almost 550 points, the best two-day streak in 5 years. So the Dow starts the morning at 13,289. The NASDAQ is at 2662 after an 82-point gain. The S&P 500 added 40 points. In Tokyo today, the Nikkei finished 2.5% higher. European shares are mixed so far. I like a little salt on my food. I said a little salt. There's way too much of it in most prepared food. The average American eats twice the recommended daily amount of sodium. That has led to premature heart attacks and strokes and a hefty health care bill. Today in Washington, the FDA holds a public hearing on salt. More now from John Dimsdale.
Today's hearing is a response to a petition filed by the Center for Science in the Public Interest.
The FDA needs to do everything it can to lower sodium levels in processed and restaurant foods.
Executive Director Michael Jacobson says 75% of our salt intake comes from processed groceries and restaurant meals. The government encourages reducing salt, but Jacobson says without actual limits, that policy is toothless.
It's tough for one company to lower sodium levels when its competitors continue to have high levels of sodium because people will continue to prefer the saltier food.
The industry is already reducing salt at their customers' request, says Robert Earle with the Grocery Manufacturers Association.
If food companies are already doing these types of things and competing on health and nutrition, government requirements across the board may not be necessary.
The FDA hasn't proposed any new sodium regulations, but it might once it hears the public's comments. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
You're listening to The Morning Report for Thursday, November 29th on Marketplace.org. Lobbyists for the U.S. financial services industry are in China this week. They want greater access to the Chinese market. From Shanghai, Bill Marcus reports on the real attraction.
It's access to $2 trillion in Chinese savings. Mattress money, said one lobbyist. Longtime attorney Lester Ross of Beijing firm Wilmer Hale says China has major structural problems masked by its booming stock markets.
Americans would like to help improve the Chinese system, and that means in part bringing to it more advanced experience, better management, better technology, and so forth. But it also means a desire to help participate.
But that'll be tough to do right now. China caps foreign investment in its banks at 20%. And the China Insurance Regulatory Commission wouldn't even meet the Americans today. In Shanghai, I'm Bill Marcus for Marketplace.
More than $1 trillion is invested in private equity partnerships. Which ones are performing the best? Well, until now, we had no way of knowing. Investors from pension plans to university endowments would like to know, so now there is a way. Jill Barshay reports.
It's not easy to value private equity funds as investments because they're, well, private. There are no closing prices on a stock exchange to track. Enter State Street. It's created a private equity index from its own data. It doesn't rely on self-reporting by the funds themselves. Christopher Ailman is the chief investment officer in the California State Teachers Retirement System. He's got $15 billion in private equity funds.
We have been asking the industry for a long time to try and create an index of private equity investments so that we can measure to see how well are we doing at picking the best ones.
State Street acts as a bookkeeper for big institutional investors. It can see which private equity funds they've invested in and how that money is doing. From this data, they've built an index of 1,300 private equity partnerships. The index will rise and fall as these investments pay dividends or cash out. In New York, I'm Jill Barshay for Marketplace.
What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. You know the mantra. But it's not just about gambling anymore. Vegas is becoming a much more popular destination for business. Ashley Milne-Tite explains.
You won't catch the Las Vegas Convention and Visitors Authority talking about the city of sin. Vice President of Convention Sales Chris Meyer likes to use the term adult freedom when describing the delights of Vegas. He says gambling is still a huge part of what draws visitors to the city, and the numbers of tourists continue to rise. Lately, though,
we've probably seen a larger explosion of the growth in the business visitor in Las Vegas, especially over the last 5 years.
Resorts have been expanding rapidly to attract meetings and conferences. Meyer says event organizers are drawn to Vegas in part because of the convenience, although shops and restaurants so close together. And there are few places in the world that can hold the numbers of conventioneers that Vegas can. Gambling still generates plenty of cash. The city drew $8.2 billion in gaming revenue last year, but convention visitors spent the same amount without even going near the tables. I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
There were 250,000 foreclosures in the U.S. last month. That's nearly twice as many as the same month last year. Congress is trying to think up ways to fix the mortgage market. Our economics correspondent Chris Farrell believes getting rid of tax breaks for homeowners would be a good start. That includes the mortgage deduction on your taxes. Chris, are you serious?
Yes, I am. I mean, I know this is going to make me popular. It's like going against mom and apple pie. It's one of those sacred cows in Washington. But we have this boom in real estate that went bust, and we have all these problems going on right now. But if we take a step back, one way of looking at what happened is because of all these tax subsidies, we overinvest. We put too much of our money into real estate. And yes, I would get rid of the home mortgage deduction. I would get rid of the favorable treatment of capital gains, more importantly, when it comes to real estate. I probably can't make a case or convince enough people on the home mortgage deduction, but I think I can make a pretty compelling case on that capital gains.
And exactly what's the situation with the capital gains on housing versus, say, stocks?
Right. The treatment of capital gains changed in 1997, and we just ended up favoring real estate. Imagine, you're a couple. You own a home, you sell it for a $500,000 profit. Zero capital gains tax. Now, when this law was passed in 1997, the capital gains tax rate on stocks was 20%. That capital gains tax rate is now 15%. Now, no math genius, but to me, it seems we really favored real estate with your investment money versus stocks. Why would we want to do that? That's a mistake. That's what I would change.
And I think the one argument you're going to get here, Chris, is that the whole idea of the tax subsidy is to encourage people and allow people to own their own homes when they might not be able to do otherwise.
Well, here's the economist's answer to that. People are still going to own homes. They might be smaller homes. It might not be McMansions, because what the subsidy has really done is encourage people to buy bigger homes. And with the conventional wisdom, it drives me crazy, but, you know, buy as much home as you can afford, right? Well, the only reason why that's out there is because of the subsidies, because Uncle Sam picks up part of the tab. You take away that subsidy, what's going to happen? People are still going to own homes, but they're going to say, rather than buy as much home as you can afford, it's going to be, I'm not going to put so much money into housing. I'm going to put more in the stocks and bonds.
All right, Chris Farrell, our economics correspondent. Thanks.
Thanks a lot.
If you'd like to agree or argue with Chris, you can do it at our website, marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.